This speech was given before the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, and the speaker's from the United Kingdom. I congratulate the rapporteur on his thought-provoking report. We in the European Democratic Group share his concern for the unemployed. He will not be surprised, however, if I do not agree 100% with his analysis or conclusions. The rapporteur clearly prefers the so-called Rhineland model, the social market, as opposed to the Anglo-Saxon model, which I shall call the free market. To be fair to him, his report shows that he has some doubts at paragraphs 12 and 13, and he admits that, as a socialist, he faces a considerable dilemma. I have some sympathy with the rapporteur because the tide of history is moving against him. When it comes to creating jobs and reducing unemployment, the Anglo-Saxon model is winning hands down, not just in Europe, but in Asia too. Spanish unemployment is running at 22%. In France it is 12%, and in Germany it is about 11%. Whereas in the United States of America, unemployment is 5.4%, and the latest figures for the United Kingdom record 5.3% unemployment. What a wonderful legacy the Conservative government left, the new United Kingdom government. The Rhineland model favours those in work, with high-level benefits and protection, at the expense of those without jobs. European countries cannot ignore the fact that, over the past two decades, several million new private sector jobs have been created in the United States, while over the same period in Europe, there has been no net increase in private sector jobs. The new jobs have nearly all come from the public sector. Perhaps we should consider the causes of these differing performances. Flexible labour markets, less powerful trade unions, a lower burden of tax, a free market outlook, and deregulation. Many countries in Europe have also been labouring under the burden of trying to meet the convergence criteria of a single currency. Under our former government, we in the United Kingdom pursued an active deregulation policy. We made some progress, but for every reduced burden on business, fresh regulations were imposed from Brussels. Most members of this assembly, I would suppose, have never run a business. They have not had to worry about where the cash will come from at the end of the week to pay the wages. I have run a business for 35 years. I know that the biggest impediment to private business creating new jobs is the problem of the costs and the regulations involved in shedding labour when trade drops and the market turns against you. What worries the small entrepreneur is the problem of getting rid of people who lack motivation, who do not turn out to be as good as expected, who are idle and incompetent, and who are sometimes dishonest. Competitiveness is the biggest issue of today, in an era of globalization. Europe is not an island. It has to compete in the world, not just with the United States and increasingly with Asia, but eventually with Latin America too. We delude ourselves if we believe that our competitiveness problem is due to low wages in our competitor countries. The economies of the Pacific Rim have done well, and wages there have increased. No longer are Hong Kong, Singapore, Taiwan, and Korea low-wage countries, but they have had low taxation and less regulation. Our real problem is not the rate we pay our labour per hour in Europe. It is the non-wage labour costs caused by employment regulations and generous sick pay, which can encourage abuse, as happened during the British Airways strike, when 9,000 people went sick on one day. Education has an important part to play if we are to help those who are disadvantaged, especially young people. We must also ensure that when they finish their education, they are literate and numerate and have been trained to be responsible. They must have been taught that they have duties as well as rights. They must be taught the importance of hard work and honesty.